This conference is being recorded.
Hello, and welcome to today's teleclass on immune support, learning how to manage and maintain a healthy immune system. I am Joe Delamore, and I'm a holistic health counselor, a mom, and a student of healthy living. I do this holistic health counseling work and education to help people move through their obstacles to living well through long-term individual health counseling, group counseling programs, classes, and articles. The reason I do this work is because I really love people and I love this planet that we live on. And I want to see and experience people living well in full joy and health and in harmony with our environment. It's my intention to share the gifts and skills that I have for living well with as many people as I can so that we can all enjoy the blessings of our lives to the fullest potential. So I'm offering teleclasses now, and the reason that I do this is partially to introduce myself as a counselor and to share this much-needed information about healthy living. The information I share is based out of a truly holistic and natural approach to living, which I feel is really essential for modern-day healing. Although I do my best to make these classes useful and informative, they really only offer the opportunity to share a little bit of information at a time. So to develop a truly healthy way of living, a long-term, focused, and broad-minded approach is really necessary. That's why I offer the holistic health counseling. Through these programs that I offer, I provide my clients with the support, education, focus, and time that they need to make truly lasting, sustainable, healthy changes in all areas of their life. Holistic health encompasses your whole life and your whole relationship to it. So as you listen to this class, I encourage you to consider how genuine health support could really help you move through your obstacles and start living the healthy life that you long for. Today's class is going to be about understanding the immune system, how it works, and how we can better support it. Western medicine and science has yet to fully understand this complicated defense system that's in our bodies. Many key components have only been discovered in the last 15 to 20 years, and there's actually still much to learn from the scientific approach. Immunology is actually one of the fastest growing areas of medical research today because we're seeing so many assaults to the immune system and so many repercussions from failed immune systems. The conventional medical approach to dealing with illness has been to destroy and suppress symptoms of disease through drugs, surgery, and radiation. These strategies fail to address the actual cause of the illness, as well as actually damaging and taxing the immune system along the way. The immune system is the key to mitigating every kind of illness or bodily injury we could occur. And learning to support the immune system to function optimally is really the best thing that you can do to prevent catching contagious bugs and viruses, as well as protecting yourself from cancer, degenerative diseases, and premature aging. This is our natural defense system, and it's meant to be able to deal with everything we come in contact with. So we want to just support it in the best way possible. It's a really complicated system that includes many organs and glands, the whole lymphatic system, the bone marrow, and many different types of blood cells with some amazing abilities. Its purpose is to protect the body from any kind of invader, whether that is a toxin, a virus, a bacteria, cancerous cells, any kind of abnormal cell function. The cells and elements of the immune system are programmed and created specifically to identify the difference between self and non-self, those aspects of the body that are meant to be there and functioning well, and those aspects that are not meant to be there. Either they're outside invaders or there's something within the body that's kind of gone astray. So these cells and pieces of the immune system can identify those things, and then they can neutralize them or destroy them and filter them out through the lymphatic and circulatory systems. When the immune system is functioning well, normal cellular waste is also flushed and filtered out through the lymphatic system to maintain a clean and healthful internal environment. If the immune system is not functioning well, then those wastes wind up accumulating and creating all sorts of malfunctions within the body. Let's see. So this intricate system is capable of fending off and filtering out all sorts of invaders when it's really properly supported. Many viruses and diseases that spread through our populations are allowed to proliferate due to generally poor immune function among these populations. A healthy immune system identifies and removes all of the harmful microorganisms, toxins, and cellular waste products. So as you can imagine, in this environment that we're living in now, we have lots of toxins that we come in contact with. We have lots of diseases and things that are going around, and if our immune systems aren't functioning properly, then we're going to be contracting and spreading all sorts of illnesses and disease. So far, are there any questions about like the basic function of the immune system?
Can you just repeat again, Joe, what the immune system includes? You said the lymphatic system.
Also the bone marrow.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get back to that part here. The white blood cells obviously are a big part of it, and there's many different types of white blood cells that perform different functions. Some of them will recognize like an invader bacteria and create an antibody for it so that when that bacteria comes in contact again, even if it's years and years down the line, it remembers that, and it can fight against it better. Some of them are, they will actually grab the invader and move it out. You know, they'll kind of escort it out of the body. So there's different types of white blood cells that kind of act slightly differently, but the white blood cells are a big part of the immune system. And then you've got your thymus gland, which is where the T cells mature. You've got your lymphatic system, which includes all your lymph glands, which can be found like in your throat and armpits and your hips. And then the whole lymphatic fluid, which is like moves through a whole different set of veins than the circulatory system does. Let's see. Oh, and then the spleen, the appendix, and the tonsils are also organs and glands that function within the immune system.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem. Okay. So, let's see. So, my main approach to being able to help the immune system is to start to learn how to feel it, to start to learn how to pay attention to the signs and symptoms of your immune system being compromised. And everybody has their own unique relationship to immune. They have their own unique system going on. So it's really up to you to start to feel and pay attention to your body and know when you're functioning really well and when you're not functioning really well. And most of us can relate to that sort of thing. If you feel a little extra tired, maybe you get cold sores or break out a little bit or get canker sores. Some people get eye infections or their glands in their throat will just get a little tender. And this is like pre-sick. This is not when you're actually like have a flu, but just when you start to feel like, oh, I just feel a little under the weather. So if you can start to notice that and be really kind of keen on it, then it can really help to give you the signs and signals for when to give your immune system a little extra support. That's your body telling you, okay, we're taxed. We need some more aid here. So general signs of impaired immune function that would be considered, you know, we have a chronic immune condition here starting, would be fatigue, listlessness, repeated infections, inflammation, allergic responses, slow wound healing, chronic diarrhea, and any kind of infections such as oral thrush, candida, or vaginal yeast infections. These are all signs that your immune system needs rebuilding. And then the other signs that I mentioned before are signs that it's like you might have a healthy immune system, but it's just taxed a little bit at that point, so you need to help it out. The other thing that's important to realize for women is that right before and during our menstrual cycle, we're going to be having a compromised immune system. So it's important to just give yourself extra good food during that time, extra rest, and just pay attention. If you're exposed to any sort of contagions at that time, you're going to want to just give yourself extra support because your body's doing a huge job of filtering out the wastes from the month. So choosing to first learn it and feel it and then to support it is an act of empowerment. This is you saying, I'm relating to my body, I am interacting with my body, I'm ready to heal my body and to manage and maintain it on my own, rather than giving the power over to either the disease or to some external source of support. This is you taking it in to your own well-being. So one of the ways that is important, or actually two of the things that we want to look at, is we don't want to overwork or damage the immune system, and we also want to let it do its work when it needs to without getting in the way. So those are two of the main approaches that I'm going to discuss right now. Ways that we overwork and damage our immune system are with improper diets, like the standard American diet of heavy foods, overeating, sugar, processed foods, chemicals in the food, high level of animal products, high fat, low fiber. That type of diet is the exact recipe for weakened immune system. Other ways that we overwork or damage our immune system are by being exposed to environmental chemicals such as conventional household cleaners, newly manufactured products that would be off-gassing, toxic work environments, and toxic external environments like smog and such things like that. Also, alcohol, tobacco, caffeine, and other intoxicants are going to seriously impair and weaken the immune system. The reason that all of these kind of poor dietary elements and chemicals and intoxicants are going to be weakening the immune system or overworking it is because they're all foreign elements that are hazardous to proper function. So it means that the immune system is always on. It's constantly in, it's constantly having to attack and destroy and get rid of these things that aren't supposed to be in the body. So when other bugs get in there that you would really like your immune system to be able to help with, it's already just worn out. Exposure to allergens, like if you have certain food allergies and you continue to eat that food, then your immune system, again, is going to be constantly having to deal with this kind of invading element. Stress is a major one because it creates internal toxic chemicals that your body has to then filter out. And then also removal of vital organs, such as the spleen, appendix, and tonsils. Typically, in the past, in Western medicine, those things have been removed kind of casually, but they're really actually essential elements to the immune system. And when we don't have those organs, then we're not functioning fully. Also, flu shots and other kind of preventative doses of disease are going to just kind of give you more stuff to have to deal with the immune system and not give your body the chance to actually deal with it in a natural, healthy, supported way. So just trying to kind of pay attention to those elements of your life and making sure that they're reduced and watched as carefully as possible is going to help you develop a stronger immune system. But then also supporting the immune system to do its work when it needs to do its work is going to help it build and become stronger. So, for instance, if you do get a bug or are sick and you can refrain from taking symptom suppressing medications, it will help a lot. Allow your symptoms to be there and support your immune system to kind of get rid of the cause of the problem. You want to be able to do that with supporting your immune system with helpful foods, herbs, water, moderate exercise, adequate sleep, and a good attitude. All of these things are going to create the ideal environment for your immune system to work so that it can take whatever bugs and elements have come into your body and do with them the way the natural system is supposed to do with them, whether that's create antibodies or whether that's to healthfully neutralize them or filter them out of the system. You just want to let your body do it the natural way that it's supposed to do it. So for kids, I know it's difficult sometimes as parents, but it's really important to allow them to get sick in a healthy, supportive environment. So when they do get sick, we just want to give them the best care and support that we can give them and allow their little systems to go ahead and deal with the bugs that are invading the body. This is going to help them develop antibodies and become stronger, and then, you know, eventually their adult immune system is going to be optimal. If we're suppressing symptoms using antibiotics and trying to get rid of the kind of discomfort on the surface, then we're not actually allowing our body to do the exercise and the work that it needs to become strong. Okay, so that part, let's see, are there any questions about that part?
I have a question, Joe. What about, I think you answered this, but what about the herbs, like when a cold comes on? I don't know, sometimes I feel like they're a little bit suppressing. Like if I get on it with echinacea or golden seal, or sometimes I get something called cold quell, which is Chinese herbs, or those ying chao things. Is that in any way suppressing the immune system or just supporting it?
Yes, just really supporting it. And that we're going to get into next year, but that's a great question. The function of herbal remedies is very different than the function of medical remedies.
Yeah.
Drug remedies. And like echinacea, for example, is going to be an immune-boosting herb. So what it does is it kind of optimizes your immune function. And that's why it, you know, sometimes if you catch it early enough and you catch it strong enough,
mm-hmm.
then you actually don't get sick.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about stuffing that sickness down.
Okay.
It's about bringing your immune system up so that it can deal with it without you having to experience all the symptoms.
Okay.
Symptoms that you get really are when the battle becomes intense in between the invading virus or bug and the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, like a fever.
Mm-hmm.
That's when, in the way that I think about it, it's kind of when the bug has the upper hand, or
mm-hmm.
like, you know, there's kind of like tension there because the immune system is like working really hard to deal with it. So everything's moving around really fast in your body and the white blood cells are doing their best and it's generating heat and you get this fever. So you're experiencing kind of the result of a major event going on inside your body.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if your immune system is really, really strong, if it's significantly stronger than the bugs that are coming in, then it's just going to deal with them, filter them out, and you're not going to really experience the effects of it as much. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Cool. So the herbs are great because they help, they give your immune system kind of the upper hand. It gives
okay.
them like, you know, a head start or something.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Thank you.
Cool. So, and there's many different things that we can do to give our immune system that upper hand. The herbs are really helpful, and we're going to get into some of the specific herbs. The food is essential, and, you know, maybe I'm biased because I'm totally into food, but I think that is the key to immune function, is a really healthy diet full of a diverse selection of leafy greens, fresh vegetables, whole grains, beans, nuts, and seeds. If you have a nice variety of all of these fresh foods and they're whole foods, then you're going to have the support, the strength, and the essential vitamins and minerals that your immune system needs to function already in place. before the bugs come in. So that's kind of, you know, if that's already going on, then you've got a major upper hand on the whole situation. And then when you do get into a situation where you feel a little taxed, then, you know, upping the quality of your diet in that case is just going to help all that much more. For myself, you know, I eat a healthy diet all year round, but when I feel like I'm a little sick, I make more specific choices. I make sure that I get extra greens, you know, and I'm not going to choose to have that little bit of chocolate that I might have had before. You know, I'm going to know, well, that's not going to help in this moment. So right now I'm going to reference off of the handout that accompanied the class today. So if you guys have that in front of you, then it could be helpful, but you don't need it. So that's the first step, is eating well. The next step is sleeping well. And a lot of the times we'll get sick when we haven't given ourselves the chance to rest. You know, maybe it's the holidays and we've been rushing around trying to meet all our family obligations and our work obligations, or maybe it's, you know, we've got a deadline and we've been staying up late, or maybe we've been socializing a lot, and that's when kind of our defenses get weakened and the bugs can slip in and make us feel bad. So sleep is definitely a really important thing to have adequately on a regular basis, you know, in the quantity that your body is most comfortable with. If you're starting to feel a little bit crummy, like maybe a bug is coming on, then making sleep a priority is especially important. Take that extra nap if you can, or go to sleep just a little bit early. Decide to do that project next time, you know, like maybe I'm going to do that when I feel a little better. Right now, I'm going to sleep because that's what's going to make me feel better tomorrow. Also, drinking a lot of water is really important. All throughout the year, but also when you're starting to feel a little bit crummy, maybe something's coming on, if you start drinking more water or herbal tea or lemon water at that point, then it's going to produce an experience where your body is flushing stuff out. And that's what your immune system is doing anyways, with the lymph and the circulatory system. If you give it more water, then it's just going to be able to do it more effectively and more quickly. And then limiting alcohol and sugar consumption are the two main things. You know, like I said before, we've got all of these things that could possibly be damaging and assaulting our immune system, the toxic chemicals, the environment, and all of these, any external kind of harmful elements that are coming into the body, we want to limit them. But the things that I find are the most common and the biggest culprits in immune suppression are alcohol and sugar. And these things you can really control. You can really say, wow, I've got a tickle in my throat. I'm not going to have that drink. You know, tonight I'm out with my friends. I'm having fun. I'm going to have water because it's nice to be here, but I don't want to have, you know, a two-week flu because of it. So if you've got any kind of, like, sign or symptom that your immune might be lowered, or you're feeling just like you're not at your optimal place with your immune, then you're going to want to choose not to indulge in alcohol or sugar. Both of these cause just major trouble for the immune system. Okay, and so also when you're starting to feel a little bit compromised, then increasing the appropriate nutrients and useful herbs can really help. In this situation, it's like your immune system doesn't quite have a handle on it. You know, you're starting to get a symptom or a sign that says there's a little bit of a battle going on, and then you can just send in the support, basically, from all directions. The three main nutrients that I've found to be really important are vitamin C, zinc, and vitamin A. Vitamin A is really essential for helping to support all immune function and to help get rid of free radicals. It's high antioxidant, so it's going to just all around help get rid of the things that are invading the normal function. It can be found in carrots, in sweet potatoes, spirulina, chlorella, wheat or barley grass, kale, parsley, spinach, turnip greens, and beet greens. The reason why when I list on this handout, I don't say, you know, vitamin A, go get a supplement. Instead, I list all of the foods is because when you eat the foods that contain the vitamins and nutrients, they also contain the essential elements for absorbing those nutrients in the best way possible. And those things, even though modern science has started to kind of figure that stuff out, we still don't have a full handle on it. And I don't know that we ever will. Nature is absolutely miraculously intricate and infinitely wise. And when nature creates an herb or a food for us to eat, it creates a whole DNA coding along with it that our body recognizes from our thousands of years of evolution in a natural environment. So the best way to get these types of nutrients is really through high-quality, fresh foods and herbs. I also listed zinc on the handout, and you'll see that spinach is also on that one. And so if you start to notice the things where, oh, it has, you know, one food has a couple of these elements in it, then I would say that is kind of one of your higher choices. So there's other different kinds of greens on there, pumpkin seeds, miso, yogurt, mustard greens. So you can kind of look on there and see which are these things that you like or that you could include in your normal diet to get extra zinc. Also vitamin C. Parsley is extremely high in vitamin C and vitamin A. Strawberries, bell peppers, lemon juice. You've also got the kale, mustard greens, Brussels sprouts. So basically greens are a wonderful support for your immune system. And then rose hips. That's something that you can put into a tea that you make, and rose hips are actually super high in vitamin C and in the most absorbable way possible. So those are the nutrients. And in addition to just generally eating fresh, healthy foods, whole grains, vegetables, focusing on those ones that have those three particular nutrients is going to really help your immune system. And then there's the herbs. And I find that using herbs in a tincture form is the most powerful. A tincture is an herbal extraction that's made with either alcohol or glycerin to pull the beneficial qualities out of the herbs so that they can be available to you. If you can get a nice general immune support herb that has, you know, a couple or several of the listed herbs in it, then it's nice to have on hand as, you know, part of your first aid kind of medicine supply. This is something that you can use at the very, very, very first sign of a symptom. When you feel like your immune system is just a little bit compromised, or if you've been exposed, you know, like maybe you went to go volunteer at your child's preschool or something, and all the kids were snotting and coughing all over you, come home and take a little bit of tincture. And, you know, just know, like, okay, when does my immune system need a little bit of extra support? These types of herbs are not meant to be taken on a long-term basis, though, because you don't want to be constantly elevating your immune system and giving it this external support all the time. It won't be strong on its own with that kind of support. What you want to do is allow your immune system to work strongly most of the time by itself, and when you feel it is a little challenged, then you give it a bit of a boost. Taking immune support tincture for, you know, anywhere up to 2 weeks is okay, but really to pull off of it after 10 days to 2 weeks is a good idea. And during those first couple of days, you can take it often. You know, I like to take it every couple of hours if I'm starting to feel like I need to head off an illness. And usually in my situation, it does. You know, I don't usually actually get sick. So the list here is echinacea, golden seal, astragalus, olive leaf, raw garlic, grapefruit seed extract, and usnea. And these are all really highly effective herbs and supplements that can help either to generally support the immune or to fend off specific, you know, viruses, bacterias, funguses. And the major caution along with this, which is on here, I just want to verbalize it, is that if you are to use astragalus, it will raise your fever. So you don't ever want to use it in the presence of a fever, especially with children. That's just, it just like gets you going so hot that you don't want to raise that fever up too hot. So are there questions on that piece of the work?
No.
Okay. So generally, this information is offered and given and can be used for you to become your own manager of your immune system, because you're the only one that can really tell what's going on inside. And with these tools and practice and kind of the long-term patience of developing this relationship with your immune, you actually can get to a point where you don't need to get sick very often, if at all. When everybody else around you is coughing and sneezing and miserable and aching, you can actually even be in their presence and be exposed to those contagions without getting sick. And for me, I think this is a huge important factor. I have a great love for life and all of this wonderful stuff that I want to do, and I don't want to be laying around feeling miserable when I have all this great stuff that I want to be doing. And in fact, when other people are laying around being miserable, I'd love to be able to help them out rather than also being scared of it or laying around and being miserable. So knowing that I have a healthy immune system that I kind of am beginning to understand and work with and feel confident in my relationship with it gives me kind of this freedom and this power to be able to not be scared of getting sick and also to be able to, you know, run around and do the things that I love to do. What is required there, though, is a real respect, because, you know, I love to be really busy and really active, but when I notice that I've got a little compromise in my immune, then I cut back and I say, okay, I don't need to accomplish everything today. I can go to sleep at 8 o'clock if I feel like it, you know, and I can make teas and drink tinctures and really take care of myself when I'm sick or when I'm starting to get a little sick. And then I'm freed up the next day to go on and do what I really want to do. So that's, you know, that's the vision that I hold for anybody who's listening to this call, is that this might provide a window for them and an opening to start to really have a different relationship with illness and disease and with their own bodies so that they can feel more empowered and more confident. This isn't like a level of arrogance like I have control over my destiny or my health or whatever, because I don't. You know, you never know, and you never know how it's going to work. And sometimes it is important to get sick. Sometimes you do need that downtime, or your body does need to have the experience of really creating the antibodies or moving through an experience of an illness. So it's not about control. It's more about relationship and starting to really develop that awareness. And the other thing, too, that just in my research in preparing for this class, I realized that the immune system isn't just about keeping you from getting the random cold or flu, but it's also about taking care of everything in your system, all the bodily wastes, all the cellular wastes, all the inappropriate functionings, you know, say of a mutating cell, of developing of tumors, of you know, things going awry inside the body. The immune system is like kind of on guard all the time for that stuff. And when it's functioning optimally, it actually will identify, dissolve, and filter out tumors, cancerous cells, all of these different things that in this day and age have become kind of like they've got the upper hand. You know, now we've got suppressed immune in general because of our exposure to toxic chemicals, because of our generally poor diet in this country, because of removal of vital organs on kind of a routine basis, and exposures to all sorts of allergens. All of these things that I discussed before that are ways that we tax and damage our immune system have kind of become common in our culture. And what we're seeing now is other things becoming common, like cancer and heart disease and you know, even diabetes that was mentioning in the book I was reading, that the immune system plays a huge role in that. And so if we're seeing, okay, well, we've got this culture-wide common tax on the immune system, and then we've also got these epidemic, chronic, and degenerative diseases, then we can see on a cultural basis that the immune system is just not able to do its job. So when we bring that down to a personal basis, if we can maintain a healthy functioning immune system based on this personal information that we can gain and cultivate, then we're going to be able to prevent and filter out and deal with these very intense and kind of scary disease elements that we might come in contact with. So I also talked about the fact that aging is probably has probably more to do with poor immune function than it does with the passage of time, you know, the symptoms of aging, and basically the free radicals and the degeneration kind of taking over. If the immune was functioning properly, then we would have more of an upper hand on those types of things as well. So I'm going to give one more opportunity for questions before I wrap it up. Does anybody have any questions now?
I do, Joe. I'm wondering if you can speak at all about adrenal depletion and its relationship to immunity.
Well, I would say that the adrenal system and the immune system are definitely linked and supportive of each other. I don't know a lot about how, in what way they're specifically supportive. I do know, though, that just from the reading that I've been doing, that hormone production is kind of dependent on healthy immune function. And so that whole system, the whole endocrine system of hormones and glands supporting each other, is going to need to be supported together. I'm not sure to really get specific about that.
The other question I had was about caffeine. You said that that's kind of a constant trigger to the immune function, and so I'm just wondering what you recommend, like absolutely no caffeine, or what is your approach?
I don't have a specific approach as far as telling somebody, you know, this is the way you should do it, but I would say that becoming aware that caffeine is hugely taxing on the adrenal system, as well as hugely taxing on the immune system, is really important. If you feel like your level of caffeine is causing issues with your internal environment, then I think that it would be wise to experiment with less caffeine and experiment with supporting your system in ways that you don't need the caffeine as much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the main approaches that I take with my counseling, is that if we've got an element in the diet or in the lifestyle that is harmful or damaging, instead of just simply saying, well, cut that out, you know, basically get rid of that, I'm going to look at the things that it taxes, how it taxes the system, and what things that we can do that are going to support that area. So, for instance, we're going to increase greens, we're going to get more sleep, we're going to have, like, calming activities added in, and you know, maybe even some supplements or some kind of what they call superfoods to help balance the adrenal and bring more energy into the system.
Mm-hmm.
And then gradually work the caffeine out. I don't think that it's a very appropriate or functional strategy to try to just take something out without supporting it from underneath. So I would definitely say that there's a major link between caffeine and adrenal failure and immune suppression. So that needs to be looked at. But I would say, depending on what your circumstances are and what the elements in your diet and lifestyle are, there would be more helpful approaches than just cutting it out.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Cool.
So I have another question.
Okay.
I just noticed, like, since this fall, I ended up getting this major sinus infection, and I see the things that I was doing that led up to that.
Okay.
And, you know, for the first time in a long time, I couldn't, like, fight it off myself. I ended up going on antibiotics.
Okay.
And since then, I just feel like I'm paying attention to my immune system, and it's like weekly I feel like, oh, I have a bug coming out, or, oh, I'm fighting this off, and I just don't feel like I ever really got in the clear, which is why I did that cleanse last week. But, you know, is that just like a lowered immune system in general, and can it take up some months to build it back up, or?
Well, you can actually take a little bit more of a focused approach on building your immune right
mm-hmm.
now, especially in the wake of antibiotics.
Because
mm-hmm. sometimes it's true. We, you know, it gets out of our hands. You know, maybe we were doing some things, or our body was weakened in a way that the bacteria took over.
Mm-hmm.
And our immune system really can't deal with it at that point.
Yep.
So we use antibiotics. That's, you know, available choice, and sometimes we do that. But one thing that we have to realize is that those antibiotics are designed to kill bacteria. They're not designed to get you healthy.
Right.
So they're going to kill the bacteria that's giving you the infection, but they're also going to kill a lot of your healthy bacteria, and they're going to weaken your system in a way that, you know, basically they are a toxic substance themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So your system is then going to have to deal with that. So a lot of the times people will see, okay, well, the infection got cleared, but I don't feel good, and I'm susceptible to more and more infections. And over a lifetime basis and a cultural basis, we're seeing a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But a specific basis like this, you're going to want to say, okay, well, that was useful for that time, and now I have to do the work that it's going to take to bring me back to health after the antibiotics. So the very first thing would be to introduce lots of good probiotics into your diet while you're on the antibiotics and for a long time afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So have you been able to do that?
Well, I was doing like Acidophilus at the time, mm-hmm. but not probiotics.
Okay.
And there's a difference, right?
Well, Acidophilus is one of the probiotics. And,
okay. But I only did it for that period of time. I didn't continue it, so
okay,
that's great.
Yeah, if you can get yourself back on either that or, like, a multiple probiotic, which would have, you know, anywhere from, like, 4 to 7 different strains of beneficial bacteria, that will really help get your system functioning back up. I would also say that it would be helpful to use some good teas at this point, and to really just, you know, like you did on your cleanse,
mm-hmm.
use your food, lifestyle, and herbal approach to kind of just pay attention and realize that right now your body is recovering from not only the illness, but also from the antibiotics.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Great. So as you can see, this is kind of complicated. There's like lots of different insults and injuries to the immune system all the time. There's lots of different ways that we can help support it. This is like a very strange thing to do, to come from the conventional American approach to beginning to feel and know and support and have a relationship with your immune system. It's kind of like a big stretch. And in order to do this and to do it successfully really requires a long-term approach. And it involves your whole health, your whole life, your whole attitude, your whole diet, everything that's going on in your life. And to do this, it may really include dietary and lifestyle changes, making new choices, and kind of unlearning and relearning habits and concepts that we've been living with for a long time. So when I work with my clients as a holistic health counselor, I'm helping them make these changes successfully and with ease. It can be really tricky to do this without information and without support, without guidance, without somebody kind of watching you and saying, yeah, it's going well. So that's the role of the health counseling, is to create an environment where you can really make the change over a long-term period of time in a sustainable way. My philosophy, as I was talking with Catherine before, is that I really believe in education and awareness as alternatives to deprivation or dogma when we're making changes. I think that if you can understand how what you're doing is affecting your body and your life, then it's so much easier to change what you're doing rather than just kind of saying, oh, yeah, I get it that it's bad, and so I'm going to stop it. That might work for, you know, a week or two, but it's really hard to make real sustainable, meaningful changes in your life if they're not based out of understanding and awareness. So that's how I work with my clients. I support them to explore joy and inclusion as they learn how their systems work and what they can do to support them so that they can really live a more healthy, more joyful, and more empowered life. My whole goal in counseling is to wind up with a client who understands their body and their life and is empowered to make the choices that are going to give them the ultimate experience. So if you are listening to this call and you're interested in exploring a truly holistic approach to your physical, emotional, and mental well-being, please contact me to schedule an initial consultation. You can find information about this on my website at www.radiantbalance.com. And we can schedule this consultation, which would be a one-hour session in which you can ask questions, express your health concerns, and we can together determine how holistic health counseling could best benefit you. If you're interested in doing this, you can email me at joedelamore@gmail.com or click on any of the initial consultation links on my website. So thank you so much for listening to the call today. I hope that you have benefited from the information today, and I hope that you are on a journey to understanding your body and experiencing more health and more joy in your life. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome. And have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.